back with you all. It's been a number of years, and since then a lot has changed. I think last time I was here, I was working summer staff at the Wilds of New England as a counselor. The Wilds of New England is where Rachel and I met, and we've been married now for 3 years. And we've been working with Camps Abroad for about a year and a half. And Camps Abroad is basically, it's a mission arm of the Wilds that helps missionaries and national pastors around the world use camp as a tool to reach out to their young people. So I'll explain a bit about that, but by way of introduction, I've got a presentation put together by some friends in the Philippines sharing a little bit about what Camps Abroad has done for them.
Praise God for the great opportunity to be a part of this ministry. ICAM has been a benefit to our youth ministry and to the church as a whole. ICAM is more of a holistic approach in the sense that it encourages intentional evangelism, intentional discipleship, mentoring and developing leaders, and a great opportunity for counseling in a safe, fun, and in friendly environment. It's really perfectly suited for our church youth ministry, and I thank you for that.
Salamat ko sa ICAMP na nag-ICAMP doon sa Sugarland o nakamit ko new friends o close pa ko, mas close pa mi sa naway close relationship sa Ginoo o kuhan, kanang dagan yung natunan na itong camp. And pupunto siya ng camp na naka-accept ko kay Jesus Christ na akong personal savior. Punta, sunod kay napuntay, daghan pa nga ICAMP o daghan pa maka-appeal. Thank you kayo sa mga Americans. Thank you.
Ang ako ngayon sa ICAMP is, alam ko natunan about God's Word and by God's grace, nang bago akong pinabuhay, nandun siya natapag sa buhay, share siya ng mga blessings na po ako.
As a counselor, ICAMP has been a blessing to be given from the start, from the training to camp. Through this ministry, it opens my heart's desire to serve God through camps. It motivates me more to study and to share God's word through follow-up, especially the e-campers.
And the E there in ECAMP does not stand for electronic, it stands for evangelistic. Camp can take a couple of approaches. Sometimes it's really geared towards evangelism with unsaved young people. Sometimes it can be geared very much for church young people and discipleship. And sometimes it's really a blend. These camps in the Philippines have been geared really towards evangelism primarily. But it's exciting. I just got back from the Philippines a couple weeks ago, and it was amazing. I wish you could have been there to hear the counselors after the camp testifying for about 3 hours of what God had done in their hearts and in the lives of young people. And so many of them sharing things such as, wait, you mean God would actually forgive my sin? They had no idea. They grew up Roman Catholic, thought that they somehow had to pay for their sin, not that God would forgive it through Jesus Christ. And so to be able to bring hope and truth into a situation like that, it was really neat. But what we're passionate about is enabling churches on every continent to reach the hearts and the minds of teens through life-altering camping experiences. And one of the things I love about that statement is that it's really what we're trying to do, reaching the hearts and the minds of young people. We want to reach their minds. We want to present the Word of God. We want to present the truth of God carefully, in a way that they understand it, in a way that they can respond to it. But we also want to reach their hearts. We want to bring these young people into a relationship with some slightly older young people who care about them, who love them, want to show the love of Jesus Christ to them and reach their hearts in that way. But we don't want them to just have fun and just be like, oh, I had this new friend that was great. We want to reach their minds as well. So bringing those both together. Now, some of you may not have listened to a word I just said because you're still hung up on something there. You're saying every continent? Okay. Every continent except one? Antarctica, anybody? Yeah, no. We have not been to Antarctica. But when there's a good population of teenagers settled there with a good local church, we'd be glad to go help them with a camp if they believe that would help them reach the young people. So, but we get to go all over the world, and it's really exciting. Rachel and I are the newest members of the Camps Abroad team. We started a little over a year ago, and we're the really the only full-time Camps Abroad. Matt Collier, our director, he's a pastor at a church in North Carolina and does Camps Abroad along with that on the side. Dan Brooks works at the Wilds of North Carolina and also with Camps Abroad. And Charity, our secretary, is also part-time, but Rachel and I are able to give 100% of our focus to Camps Abroad. But why camping at all? Well, because God is using the tool of Christian camping to reach young people all over the world. For starters, God has greatly used Christian camps here in the States, and perhaps you're especially familiar with the Wilds of New England or other camps. And so how many of you have attended camp as a young person? Number of you? Okay, many of you. How many of you would say camp made a significant spiritual influence in your life? Okay, Rachel and I would say the same thing, that camp made a significant spiritual influence in us. And God uses camp in America, and he uses it all over the world as well, and it's because we're presenting the Word of God with the love of God so that lives can be changed to the glory of God. Since 2001, when Camps Abroad began, Camps Abroad has sent about 150 teams to really over 50 countries now on 6 continents and helped about 75 camps get started. And the goal is that those camps could be independent and self-sustaining long-term, not that we would come run a program and when we leave it ends, but that we could come help them figure out how to run a program so that can continue long after we leave. So now I've got another short video that will introduce you to what camp could look like if you were to come with us overseas. Looks like fun, doesn't it? Yeah, it is. All right, so since 2001, Camps Abroad has been a lot of different places and worked with a lot of different camps. But last year alone, more than 500 churches participated in camps connected with Camps Abroad, bringing over 10,000 young people, and that's just in 1 year. So the camps that Camps Abroad has worked with over the last going on 20 years A lot of them are continuing and bringing and serving that many campers annually at this point. And we believe there's the potential for so much more. Camps Abroad gets to take advantage of the unique benefits of Christian camping. Key to that is providing a platform for relationships. So we're working with trained staff, and so we're going to go in a couple days before the camp to do staff training with any counselors, anyone that's going to be working with the camp, and just helping share a basic philosophy of discipleship, basic philosophy of counseling. How do you minister the Word of God one-on-one or in a small group to young people? And then providing those relationships for them. Camp also provides fun with a purpose. The games and free time build bridges. They break down barriers. We love games. We love fun. Anyone who's a part of camp, I think you have to like fun at least a little bit. And I love big ball, but I promise you it's not worth a 14-hour plane ride to go play a game of big ball. We love the fun, but that's not why we do it. But it is worth a 14-hour plane ride to see young people come to Christ and grow in their walk with Christ. Camp also gets young people away from daily distractions. People all over the world, things may look a little different, culture may be a little bit different, but at their core, so much is very much the same. And young people are the same way, that there's distractions at home, there's good things they can do at home, and there's bad things they can do at home. They have good friends at home, they have bad friends at home. And bringing them to camp brings them away from those negative influences in their life, even if it's their parents that do not love the Lord. But bringing them into a situation where they can hear the Word of God spoken clearly, away from those distractions. And sometimes, even in America, maybe we think of technology as this great distraction, and it can be, but it's not unique to America anymore, if it ever was. We were recently in Bangladesh, and before we went, I was kind of looking at some statistics online, seeing what to expect, and I saw that a little bit over half the population has access to regular electricity in their homes. And so I thought, okay, so what percentage would you expect to have cell phones? Maybe about the same? Try closer to 80% or 90%. Basically all the kids had cell phones because they'll find a way to charge it. They'll charge them when they're in town. They'll get a battery pack. They'll charge it. So they, you know, the distractions can really be the same all over the world. And so bringing them to camp, just simply getting them away from those distractions so that they can hear the Word of God and have a concentrated immersion in the Word of God. So in the camps we run, we've got large group preaching times, we've got small group counselor-guided discussions, and then the counselors are also looking to do one-on-one discussions. And then for some of these young people, maybe it's the first time that they've studied God's Word on their own, where they've opened to a passage of Scripture and read it and thought about it, answered some questions about it for 20 minutes. Maybe it's the first time in their life that they've done that. Or maybe it's the first time they've done that 2 days in a row, or 3 days in a row, and it can be the beginning of a pattern for life, and we believe it's the Word of God that changes lives. And so it's exciting to see that God uses His Word to meet the same needs all over the world. When we go, our model for international camping, we're always working with local leadership. We're going when a missionary or national pastor asks us to come. They say, hey, we want to use camp as a tool. We want to reach our young people with camp, but either they're not sure how to get it started, or they say, we're going to do it, but we want to do it well. Can you help us? And so we'll try to help them think through things. But from the beginning, it's their camp, not ours, and we make that clear. We'll provide hands-on training. We'll give instruction. We'll model it for them, help them think through important questions, and spend time mentoring them. But we don't want to stay there forever. Eventually, we want to leave. And so typically, we'll go to a place no more than 3 times. We like to go once, and we'll do a bit of demonstration, especially we'll run a good part of the camp, but we'll be showing them how to do it along the way. And then maybe the second year, if we go back, we would share it a lot more, where they're doing a good part of it, we're doing a good part of it, and we're just helping them think through things. And then maybe the third year, they'd be doing really nearly all of it, and we'd be watching at that point and helping them think through some last things, potential issues to avoid and that sort of thing. But you could think of Camps Abroad as a rocket booster to get them going, but giving them what they need to continue and stay out there. So that's a bit of what we do. This is Ati from South Africa. He was at a camp we did last December. And previous to that camp, he had not been connected with the church at all. But he came to that camp, and from that, he was connected with a local church. He did not come to know the Lord at camp. But as a result of that, he was connected with the church, and over the course of many weeks, And the missionaries and national pastors communicated the word of God with him. However, he is deaf, and so it took a while for them to communicate well, because sometimes he wouldn't come with his interpreter. And over the course of a few weeks, they learned that he could write in English very well. And so the missionary's son actually went back and forth with him on a whiteboard for over an hour, sharing the gospel, asking questions, answering questions. And Achi came to know the Lord a couple months after camp. So it's exciting to have that follow-up in place. That's what we're doing. We're going to work with local churches that are already existing there. We were with a pastor in Bangladesh, and some of the young people either rode a bus or made transportation arrangements to come as much as 20 hours to camp. But the pastor, as he was taking us back to the airport, he said, "I've got the names of all the young people. I know the towns that they're from, and I know the pastors in those towns, and so I'm connecting them so that they've got follow-up when they get home." So that's what we're doing. That's what we're excited about. And we can go really anywhere. We're global and mobile. We receive requests from all over the world, and it's exciting to be able to meet those requests. Just as an example, 2019, these are trips that have either happened or are scheduled. Peru, Georgia, Ukraine, Belarus, South Africa, Myanmar. Haiti was scheduled but had to be canceled due to some political situations there. Taiwan. And then I just returned from Vietnam and the Philippines a couple weeks ago. Lebanon, that group leaves next week, I believe. China, and then South Africa. So a lot of variety there. And that works because we can do a camp just about anywhere. A school, a resort, a park, a community center, a church, a parking lot. I even heard that at one point they did one on an airstrip in where they a field that was cleared for airplanes, and they said, "Well, we can have camp there because it's flat, the only flat place around." So you can have camp just about anywhere. You can get young people together to hear the word of God and have small group discussions as well. Also, we don't finance camps in an ongoing way because we don't want them dependent on us for long-term ministry. Just as we can't be on the ground at 75 camps every year, we can't finance 75 camps, but we can help them get started and get creative for how to continue. So that's a little bit of where we've been, what Camps Abroad has been doing, but we've got some goals as well. We'd like to increase the number of international trips by about 30%. Also, if 2016, 2017, 2018, we're reaching out to about 10,000 campers, we'd like to see that up closer to 20,000 within the next 4 or 5 years. And then there's also a lot of opportunities in developing countries for young people to come to know the Lord or know the Lord better through camp. But none of this happens without our partners, and so we'd love it if you could pray for us. We've got prayer cards on a table in the back, and so if you'd take one of those, we'd appreciate that and pray for us. We've also got prayer bands, so if you want to grab a wristband, you could take that, or the kids are welcome to grab those as well. Grab a wristband, pray for us. And then if you'd like email updates, they come out monthly. You can check, put your email down, check the box that says prayer updates, and that'll come out every month. We're currently raising support, and we're at about 20%. And so as God provides opportunities, we'd love for you to be able to partner with us in some way, but we also understand that that doesn't work for every situation. One-time gifts also help funding an international trip or scholarships for unsaved campers or program equipment for camp. So just as God provides opportunities, we understand that we'd love for you to be able to partner with us, whether through prayer or other ways. If you could keep in touch, that would be great. You can visit us online at campsabroad.org. If you say that was interesting, but that was really fast, we'd be glad to answer questions afterwards, or if you want to read it at your own pace, campsabroad.org has a lot more info. Also, you can like Camps Abroad on Facebook if you want more pictures. If you say, "I want more pictures than that," there's Instagram. Or you can sign up for a newsletter or on-site updates. The prayer updates come out once a month. Newsletter comes out 3 or 4 times a year. Just gives an overview. On-site updates, we try to send those out while we're on the ground overseas. We'll be, you know, sending something out every couple days. And so those come a little bit more frequently and then with maybe a big break. So if you want your emails on a schedule, don't sign up for on-site updates. If you want to know that we've got 76 beds and 86 campers showed up, then on-site updates is where you'll get that information. 1/3 of the world's population is currently under the age of 20. And young people are changing the world. They are. They're growing up, becoming leaders, one way or another. And that's 2.5 billion young people under the age of 20. And so that's the demographic that we're looking to reach. Those could all be campers now, or within a couple years could be campers. And in some countries, the median age, the middle of the demographic is in the teens or early 20s. And so these are young people that will soon be leaders, and so it's exciting to be reaching out to these people. So we would love it if, as the Lord brings us to mind, if you would pray for us and continue to keep in touch, and we're thankful for that. With the remaining time, if you could turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes, if that raised questions, if you're wondering about, you know, what we do, what we eat, how we talk to people, all that sort of stuff, we'd love to answer those questions later. All that can get interesting. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. People ask us sometimes if we have the coolest job or the coolest ministry in the world, and I think we might, but if you know of something better, please don't tell me, because contentment can be a fragile thing, and we love what we're doing, we're excited about it, and so it's pretty neat. There are challenges of being on the road a lot, of learning new things all the time, but it's exciting. It's exciting to meet people from all over the world. And one thing we've noticed, this won't be a surprise to you, is that people around the world do things differently. Okay. Say, I know, the person sitting next to me does things differently. Yeah, people do things differently. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon makes a lot of simple observations. He says, this is the way that life is. This is the way that life seems. Just living in this world, a fallen, broken world, this is how life is. Well, simple observation, people do things differently. In China, our first time there, we learned that, in general, people don't like to drink cold water. They would rather drink it warm. We said, okay, you know, that's fine. I mean, I don't always need ice in my water. That's fine. But it was 105 degrees every day, except for the days that were hotter, 106, 107, 108. Wouldn't cold water be kind of nice? No, we'd rather have warm water. Okay, that's fine. Not a problem. It's just different, right? Another place in China, we were in a large city, and nobody wanted to own a car. Then why would you want to own a car? They're expensive. You know, the parking spaces are limited on the sidewalk. We ran out of those a long time ago, and so, you know, there's nowhere to park anymore. The bus costs, you know, an equivalent to us of like 13 cents a ride or something. You know, it's so cheap. So why would you want to own a car? To any of us, we'd say, well, if I didn't have a car, how would I get to the store? Well, it's just different, you know, life in a city in China versus life here. In Bangladesh, our first time there, we had about 300 guy campers, not counting the girls, plus their counselors, so about 350 guys all slept in one room that was probably a little bit smaller than this room. Yeah. 350 guys in a room smaller than this. They were just lined up right next to each other, and guess what? It was fun. It was fine. It was camp, right? Try that in America. Yeah, that's not going to work too well for a couple of reasons. One, you've got fire code, right? And two, it's America. You know, you're just not used to that. We want personal space, and Americans are probably bringing a little bit more as far as luggage to camp, unless campers come with just one change of clothes. I'm guessing we're bringing a little bit more. So it just doesn't work the same. Life around the world, things can be different. Also, we were in a location where they found crooked teeth very attractive. I said straight teeth. Rats have straight teeth. Crooked teeth, that's attractive. Where we would probably view that generally differently, where we would prefer straight teeth, right? See, things around the world, it's just different. It's okay. It's not a problem. It's not bad. It's just different. We love coming back to America. We live in an A-frame, a place we call home. It's got warm water, cold water. You can drink it right out of the tap, hot or cold, either way. You know, warm shower, it's great. Indoor plumbing, air conditioning. We love living in America. So simple observation, people around the world do things differently. Another simple observation, again, it won't surprise you. We come back to America, but we often don't find that Americans are necessarily happier, right? Even if the standard of living is much higher, it doesn't equate with greater level of happiness. Why? Because standard of living and happiness, really, there's no correlation there. Because there's something deeper that every person needs. Every person desires, whether they understand that or not. But every person needs God. They need a relationship with their Creator. They need forgiveness of sins. They need Jesus Christ. So people try to find contentment. They try to find peace in so many different things. But more money, a better job, yes, a smoother life, better health, can't provide those things. All those things can be nice, but it can't provide a true peace, true happiness, true contentment, true joy. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, look at verse 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. And then Solomon talks about getting old. He gives a few warnings. Drop down to verse 13. Ecclesiastes 12, 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And isn't there something that resonates here? That there's joys in life, but in themselves, what good are they? When it comes down to it, life is short, and we need to be using it for God. And so maybe you're here today, and you're deeply satisfied with your relationship with God. You've walked with God for many years. You've been in his word. Knowing God is the best thing that's ever happened. Maybe you're here, and you want that to be the case. You desire that, but sometimes you feel like you're stuck in a rut. Are my daily activities worthwhile? Am I doing things that count for God? I want to be there, but I'm just not sure. Or maybe you don't think that way at all. The way you use your time, your energy, your money, sure, you'll give a portion of it to God, but beyond that, you've got your dreams, your goals, your ambitions, and you just want to take care of those things. Well, regardless of which category you would fall into or somewhere in between, these verses, I think, could give us either encouragement or warning. God's created each of us for a purpose, and as we live for him, life can count in major ways. You can use what God has given you where you are. You can live for him. And it's important to use life well because Solomon points us to the fact that life is relatively short. He says to remember your Creator now, in the days of your youth. There's a coming time where you won't have the same energy you have now. It's coming quickly, perhaps more quickly than you realize. And so he addresses particularly young people, particularly young men, but there's implications for all of us that God has given each of us, apparently, a little bit more time, right? We're here tonight. What are we going to do with the days we have left? What are you going to do with the days you have left? Remember your Creator later. No, now. Remember your Creator now. None of us knows how many years we have left, and so to make good use of a short life, we must look to the way God has created us to be. God is our Creator, and so that means that he gets to define our purpose. He gets to define our purpose in life. And people all over the world, Americans, anybody, they want to have a purpose in life. They want to live a certain way. They have goals. They've got dreams. They've got ambitions. They say, this is what I need to live for. Or maybe some people are lost and just confused, just trying to figure out something. But God's created each of us, and he's created us with a purpose, and that is to glorify him. Not just to accomplish some earthly goal, some earthly dream. We meet a lot of different people around the world. We've met a lot of people who say, oh, I would love to come to America. Say, that would be great. I'd love for you to come to America. I think it's a great country, greatest country on earth. I love America. Some people think that, you know, if they could come to America, they'd get more stuff, they'd be happier. I remember speaking with one young man who said, I wish I could come to America with you and meet all the Christians. It must be amazing. So I would love to introduce you to a lot of wonderful Christians. That'd be really great. I know hundreds, maybe thousands, just really wonderful Christians. But I think if you thought you were coming to America and everybody was going to be a Christian, a follower of Jesus, you'd be disappointed. But think of his circumstances. He lives in Bangladesh, 89.9% Muslim, 9.5% Hindu, which leaves about 1.6% to be split among all forms of Christianity. Buddhism, animistic religions. So the Christian population, by comparison, is very small. Who wants to come to America? Must be really great. We meet other people who, they get it. They're trying to live for God where they are with the opportunities God has given them. We were in China about 2 years ago now, and we met an executive for a very large company there. The company she works for has about 3,800 locations spread throughout the country, and she's, I think, one of the top three in the company. And we met her, of all places, at camp. why was she at camp? Well, not because we had anything to really give her to get her ahead. She'd already gone to college in America, in Boston. She spoke English great. She's, you know, making lots of money. She's got it all from a human perspective. What could we give her? She said, I want to go to camp because I want to share the word of God with teenagers. I want to give 2 weeks of my summer and learn how to counsel young people. And that's what she was doing. And since then, we've been in touch with her, and she's looking for these opportunities to serve teenagers. Why? Because she understands that there's something worth living for. It's not all the money. It's not all the stuff. It's not all the things in life, the adventures or whatever it may be. She wants to serve God and serve other people. We don't get to decide what we exist for, what gives life meaning, what will satisfy. God's created us for a purpose, and that's to glorify him. God's our creator. He's our authority. He's designed and defined our purpose. But just in case we thought we knew a little bit better than God, we said, God, I know you created me. I know you say all this stuff in your word, but I want to live life my own way. God also has been gracious to give us a warning that he cares about our future. He's our judge. God will bring every work into judgment, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God cares about the choices that we make. He cares when we stand up for what's right at work or at school. And he cares when we choose not to. He cares when we go along with the flow. He cares when we gossip. He cares when we're dishonest. God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, even our private actions. God cares about those things. God cares about how we treat each other when no one else is looking. God cares about how we treat other people in the privacy of our own heads. God cares about these things. He's our judge. Is it good or is it evil? Is it useful or useless, worthwhile or vanity? God cares how we live. So how can I be sure that my life counts? How can I be sure that I'm not wasting my time and energy? Well, we've partially answered that, glorifying God, living as we were created to be. But Solomon here really gives a summary. He gives two directives, two commands. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And so many people around the world get these things so close in a certain way, but then so far off. Are there people around the world who have a fear of a God? Yeah, there are. Billions of them. I mentioned Bangladesh, 89% Muslim. Do followers of Islam have a fear of a God? Yeah, they do. We would awake at dawn to the sound of the first call to prayer, and then long after dark, we'd hear the last call to prayer as we were going back to rest for the evening. They were very careful to do a lot of different things out of their fear of their God. But they were missing a few things. They were missing the truth of God's word. They were doing that without hope, doing it without love, without hope that a God loved them at all. But we have all those things. We have the truth of God. We have the love of God. We can, in turn, love our God. We can fear God with hope. And that's what we get to share with people. So there's many people around the world who, in a sense, have a fear of a God, but we have something so much greater that we can fear the true God. And are there people that emphasize obedience? They want to keep a lot of commandments. Yeah, there are. Billions of them. Myanmar is about 88% Buddhist. Buddhists have a strong emphasis on morals. While we were in Myanmar, Sunday afternoon we saw, it's called the Shwedagon Pagoda. It's one of the largest pagodas in the world. It's built with literally tons of gold. They don't even know how many tons of gold. All given, free will, offerings by Buddhist pilgrims, kings, rulers through the centuries. Why? Because they want to do good things for their religion and the Buddhist priests. As we were walking along the road to that pagoda, it's the road that Adoniram Judson, many years ago, placed his mission station to engage Buddhist pilgrims in gospel conversations. And as we were walking along that road, there were sparrows for sale that people could release as a symbolic act of kindness. They were seeking after wisdom at these bodhi trees and just all these different things where they're trying to do a lot of good things for people and for animals and just trying to be good people. But they're missing something. They couldn't do it with hope. They couldn't do it with truth. You couldn't do it with a true love for God. But that's what we have. We get to keep commandments, and it's not just that we're keeping commandments as though someday we can be good enough to earn God's love, and someday maybe if we're good enough, God will then forgive us. It's not that we're just trying to be nice to other people so that maybe we can have enough good works to outweigh our bad works and that God will accept us then. We get to keep God's commandments because we love him. We get to keep God's commandments because he sent his son to die for us. We get to keep God's commandments because they're good, because they're true, and because we have a relationship with him built on hope and love and truth, the truth of God's word. This is what we get to share with people. Our invitation to young people is not come to America, it'll make you happy. That sounds ridiculous. But what is it that pulls our attention away from different things? What is it that pulls our attention away from fearing God and keeping his commandments? What is it that keeps us from sharing these things with other people, from living it out in our own lives, from trying to make a difference for other people? It can be so many different things. For Solomon, there's a huge list of things that pulled his attention away from God. He had great work projects. He had more women than any man could ever love. He had more money than any man could ever spend. He had it all. You name it. He had the entertainment. He had the pleasure. He had the fun stuff. He had the big stuff. He had the small stuff. He said, it doesn't satisfy. It can't make you happy. What satisfies is fearing God and keeping his commandments. And God's given each of us an opportunity to do these things wherever we are. In God's good providence, part of that is for Rachel and I to be going around the world helping camps get started. For some of you, you've got opportunities in your workplace that we will never have. You meet people on a daily basis that Rachel and I will never see. You've got opportunities at home, maybe with children, or brothers or sisters, to be an encouragement with people that we don't have those opportunities. You have an opportunity where you are to fear God, to keep his commandments, to make a difference. And so what will you do with the time that you have ahead? God has been good to us, to give us his word, to give us his truth, and to give us hope for how to live, and how to live for him, and to how to live a life that is truly worth living. You have opportunities to live for God where you are, and there's nothing more satisfying than living for him. There's nothing more alluring, but perhaps less fulfilling than living for yourself. Let's pray and ask God to help us live out these truths. Our Father, we thank you that you are so good to us. Thank you for giving us your